Blog Talk Radio.
Doctor, this morning at 616.
Yes. I'm sorry, my volume is down low.
Okay, doctor. We want to give a shout out there to New Black Knowledge, to Jonathan Bourne Jackson. Definitely a shout out there to Mile High News. And also, too, doctor, the subject is how to eat to live. And you have the floor, sir. And please tell us about the benefits of great nutrition and helpful eating habits. And also, too, folks, the show here has a G rating for all audiences, so we got to keep it clean and got to keep it on point.
Wow, okay. First things first, you're on the West Coast.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Okay, so what is it there, 7 a.m.? 8 a.m.?
No, sir, it's 8 a.m. right here.
8 a.m., okay. So you have a morning show. This is a different energy for me.
Okay. Well, what we do is we come on various times, doctor, you know, throughout the week, and we always put a notice out there on our like page, Shabaka's Black Experience. We also put a note out there on Mile High News, in which I'm their West Coast correspondent as well, too.
Yeah. I know. I like this energy, though. I like this vibe. You know what I'm saying? I like this vibe.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? It's conducive to health. You know, this is the time to discuss these kind of things. I mean, it's always the time, but you know, in the morning, especially, you can get some of that fresh air. You know, get some deep diaphragmic breaths in, you know, some belly breathing, some embryonic breathing in, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So peace to the family out there. Good morning to everybody listening. If you've never heard me speak before, my name is Dr. Inky. I'm from the Bronx. I'm a very different type of doctor, I'm sure. I'm very unique. I just want to say excuse me to everybody before we get started because my voice is a little crazy. I've probably been teaching about the same thing for maybe over a decade, but something happened within the last, I want to say 2 to 3 months, that triggered a domino effect, and a lot of people are really paying attention right now. I want to even say it's a tribute maybe to the comedians. I was on tour with Ha Ha Davis and, you know, just a lot of the Instagram comedians, like, really promote what I'm doing. Oddly enough, they really promote what I'm doing and try to bring awareness to what it is that I teach to their audience, and, you know, because, you know, they really kind of believe. So shout out Ha Ha Davis, Blackberry, Envy, Myron, Robbie, Dominique. Shout out everybody that helps me get the word out. But it's two things that I talk about that particularly separate me from the rest of the pack. So typically, I'm sure everybody's familiar with the great legend, Alfredo Dr. Sabie Bowman, right?
Yes, sir.
Right. So we've had some great speakers and some great teachers, and since then, eating alkaline has become a lot more prevalent in conversation and trendy and vegan, the whole vegan movement. And I like to think I had a lot to do with popularizing that vegan movement. But there are two things that particularly separate me from the pack. And I think it's why the phone's been ringing off the hook. You know, shout out Brother Knowledge, who's been really instrumental and key in positioning my message to people so that we can get this information to an even larger audience from Do the Knowledge Radio.
Sir.
But those two key things are, one, the actual physical discovery of the consciousness or the soul, right? The actual scientific discovery that the soul is no longer a undescribable, intangible, non-physical thing, that is actually just as real as your hands or your face, right?
Yes, sir.
That's number one. And then number two, that melanin, right? Because we've been hearing conversations about melanin since at least me. Since Dr. Richard King, a lot of the younger guys, they don't even give credit, you know, to the OGs that kind of laid the foundation. But at least in a scientific framework that reaches back to our ancestors, I think Dr. King was probably the best that laid that out. You know, you kind of hear some of the weird stuff in regards to melanin, and I probably spent about a good 5 years arguing with folks and trying to set the record straight on a lot of the non-scientific feel-good information surrounding melanin. But I so when I look back, I think Richard King, Dr. Richard King, did the best in terms of taking what our ancestors left us and then validating that through science and cutting edge technology. So, but so my second. With that being said, my second point that I think that separates me from everybody is that I was the first person to make the discovery that melanin is very different from chlorophyll. It's very different from chlorophyll. Melanin gets compared to chlorophyll quite a bit. And I think that's because people, you know, I say all the time, I quote Jay-Z, I say people don't stay in the studio long enough. In regards to scholarship, I liken the studio to the library, right? So when I say you don't stay in the studio long enough, I mean the sisters and the brothers aren't studying enough to really elaborate on some of the more complex topics, especially when it comes to biochemistry and biology. In regards to African-Americans, blacks, Moors, Hispanics, Mexicans, whatever we choose to call ourselves at the time, you know, we have issues with putting the hat on, you know what I mean?
Right.
we can't agree with what hat we're gonna wear every day. So it's cool. We know who we are though.
Yes, sir.
So with the
melanin, go ahead, doctor. Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's cool. So with the melanin piece, I discovered that melanin was very different than chlorophyll and hemoglobin, right? So when you look at these, just for the people that may not be following, right? So our bodies are largely made up of acids, and maybe this will help people get a better in-depth understanding of what the god Ogun that came to us in the personage of Alfredo, Dr. Sadie Bowman, was actually trying to tell people with an alkaline diet in the first place, right? So our bodies are largely made up of acids, right? And so the definition of an acid is a substance that basically steals or lives off of what we know of as electrons, right? It has to constantly consume electrons for function. Right. So because our bodies are made up of acids, our bones, our skin, the pigment in our body, amino acids, fatty acids, right? We hear about we got to get our good fatty acids, omega-3s, omega-6s. Those are fatty acids, right? And so amino acids, fatty acids. Because we're constructed of acids, we have to consume a diet of alkaline substances to power that acid, right? And so what an alkaline substance is, an alkaline substance is something, or base, right? Because if we go to the textbooks, it's base, right? So an alkaline or base substance is a substance that donates electrons, right? So that would be the perfect match made in heaven, right? If you have an acid-based body, you want to consume an alkaline diet so you have plenty of energy to do what you need to do. So that's that relationship there. So when we look at melanin, hemoglobin is what your red blood cells are made of, as well as the electron transport chain in your mitochondria, right? And then you have chlorophyll, a pigment that makes plants green and allows plants to do all of the lovely magic that they do to supply life to the rest of the globe. All right, so those are proteins. A pigment is a protein, and a protein is a chain of amino acids. Now, what determines the difference between their function is two things: geometry and the mineral that is featured in that pigment or that protein. So, because they all three of those, heme, melanin, and chlorophyll share geometry. What separates them is the mineral. So in melanin, what's featured is sodium, right? In chlorophyll, it's magnesium. And then hemoglobin is iron. So if we look at the intrinsic qualities, then we see what's going on. So what iron does, everybody knows, is magnetism, right? So the main thing with the magnetism is that it attracts electrons to it. And so that's how blood works in our lungs, which is one of the most dangerous, the most dangerous aspects of anemia is people get low on energy because they feel out of breath. When your red blood cells cycle through your lungs without enough iron, they can't pull the oxygen to it. They can't oxygenate the blood, right? That's done based on magnetism. With chlorophyll, there's a very unknown quality of magnesium. What magnesium does is magnesium has the ability to self-assemble into a hexagonal shape, a hexagon, right? And why that's important is because the water structured in all of our cells as cytoplasm takes that hexagonal shape. So in order for things to be bioavailable, usually they must be accompanied by magnesium, right? So what plants are able to do with magnesium at the center of their chlorophyll is package sunlight into a bioavailable crystal that we know of as a carbohydrate, right? So that's what magnesium allows the chlorophyll to do. Now, what sodium does is totally different. Sodium is magical because our bodies are largely composed of water. So what sodium can do with water is sodium can get an electric charge from water. Sodium can control the direction of water. It can control the structure of water, where water moves. And so this is one of the keys to understanding melanin. So what my discovery regarding melanin was that melanin was not photosynthetic, or it never performed photosynthesis, was that melanin was photovoltaic. And what photovoltaism is the ability to convert light into radiation into an electric energy, just to make it plain. So that's what our melanin does. So the major two things that separate me from everybody else is I talk about the soul, and the soul largely being the light that emanates from the plasma in our body. Right.
Right.
Specifically,
yes, sir.
The plasma in the four ventricles that the brain sits in. So I know that it's early in the morning. Family's listening, and they like, what did he just say? It's all right, family. That's why we're recording this, so y'all can go ahead and rewind.
Now let me ask you this here, doctor. You know, what do you feel about these conventional medical practices that's going on? And what I mean by that is that these mainstream medical firms is giving all our children all these vaccines that are leading to autism and other health problems. In addition to the health situation predominantly here within the melanated communities, because a lot of our people don't have access to proper health care. A lot of our people, you know, can't even afford proper health care. And then, too, they got these vaccines and immunizations that are high.
Wait a minute, bro. Hold on, bro. Wait, let me ask you this. Do we have what's our time limit?
Okay, we got, we got 41 minutes left in the show.
Okay, cool, because you asked me a few questions in there, and they're good questions, so I'm going to try to do them short since we got 41 minutes, but I want to get to each one of them. So, in regards to the vaccines, right, I had a long-standing, drawn-out conversation about these vaccines. Now, what I will say is this. There's already been documentation. In fact, there was, and I think this example probably can speak to the whole of the subject. There's already been a CDC whistleblower
There's already been a CDC whistleblower that showed that African American or little black boys were particularly susceptible to harm from what's in the vaccine. Now, there's a debate going on about this, but that's undebatable. Anybody can type that in to Google and pull up articles and go further and see what's going on with Merck and where the lawsuits stand and the class action suits. And I also pulled up there's a vaccine website that actually keeps track of the numbers of people that get injured from vaccines every year. And there are hundreds of thousands of people that are injured from vaccines on a regular basis. So with that being said, I am not completely anti-vaccine. What I am is anti-ignorance, right? And so the problem I have is more so with the people than with the vaccine. And what I mean by that is we haven't fully taken responsibility for ourselves yet, right? So our children are in the school. The schools aren't really educating our children good enough. And so what do? We blame the school. We don't take it upon ourselves to make sure that they have supplementary work every day when they come home from school for 2 or 3 hours, right? We just blame the school and we let the children play Xbox.
Really, what's supplementary?
Go ahead. Supplementary means we can go to bookstores and purchase workbooks and textbooks. We can even go online and download curriculums so that when our children come home, we can teach them out there on top of what they're doing in school. So I'm not necessarily saying pull them out of school and do sole homeschool, even though if you're equipped for that, that would be awesome because it strengthens the bond between parent and child outside of just the education that they receive. It strengthens that bond between you and your child, and it promotes quality time, and it builds good memories between you and your child because that daytime, you're being robbed of all of the days with your children. Literally.
Okay.
You go to work. Okay. They go to school. You don't have your children in the daytime. You don't see your children.
Right.
Most people that are doing 9 to 5 until it's garbage time. You got to wash them up, cook, put them in bed, and then, you know, you go to bed. Then you wake up again tomorrow, bam, you're shipping them off for the whole quality out of the day, which is the daylight. So if you're not equipped to do that, I understand people's lives are in different places. Having that supplementary work for them when they get home, like, oh, okay, what you doing school today? Okay, cool. Here, open that workbook up right there. Let's start right here. Now you're in school with daddy. Now you're in school with mommy, right? I'm gonna make sure that you're getting what you're supposed to get. I'm not gonna worry about what the school doing and not doing. I'm gonna get you together at home, so I know you straight. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to do that with our health. A lot of us we don't read ingredients labels. Right, even to the point where, even with all the awareness surrounding the food, we still haven't taken to reading ingredients labels. We still look at people weird that we see in the supermarket reading the ingredients labels. Now,
hold on 1 second, doctor. Hold on 1 second. Okay, we got a caller here from area code 720 with the last 4169. Okay, you're on the air, and you got a question here for the doctor. 4169.
Yes, this is Brother Jesse out of Denver, Colorado, representing for the Mile High News. The question I had was, we're talking about these chemicals affecting us. I wanted to see if you know anything about the aspartame that is effeminizing and turning black boys gay. He wanted to discuss that after he discussed this one.
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely. Okay, doctor?
Right. Well, I don't think it's so much as the aspartame as it is the pesticide that they're putting in the food, but I do know the point that you're trying to get around to. And there are a lot of contributing facts to gender problems in terms of our children and our reproduction, right? And I know it's popular to pass blame, but what I want us to start doing is taking responsibility for 2020. So one of the biggest things that affects a child when they're growing up, especially in their formative weeks, their early weeks, are the pheromones of their parents, right? The pheromones of their parents. Very important. If dad is not around for a young boy in those first 3 to 6 months, if he's not inundated by dad's pheromones, that's going to have a super large effect on his hormones, right? So maybe dad's not around for whatever reason. Maybe he's working. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's, you know, confused. These are issues that we got to deal with. The other issue that I have a problem with is that most of us don't take having children serious. I have 10 children. Yeah. I have 10 children. I raised 5 of them on my own as a single parent. So I take fatherhood and being a dad very serious. Most of us do not plan having children. We just have sex. Shorty get pregnant. Oh, okay, you want to keep it? I want to keep it. Oh, you don't want to keep it? We argue. Then we got a baby coming. There's no plan saying, okay, babe, well, the only time we plan is when somebody has a fertility issue. Outside of that, most of our children just come out of the byproduct of unbridled sex, right? So if we planned more and put more into cleaning ourselves, more into detoxing, say, you know what, babe? All right, listen, we want to have a baby. What sign do you want the baby to be? Okay, you want your baby to be a Cancer? Cool. That means we got to do this the natural way, right? We got to go along with nature. We got to plant our seed in the fall. So it's November. All right, cool. Perfect timing. We're going to detox and cleanse until August. Right, we're going to detox and cleanse, babe, until August, and then when September rolls around, we're going to start trying to, you know, we're going to start trying to plant that seed. So if we did it that way, right, the chemicals in the foods wouldn't harm us because we wouldn't be eating foods laden with chemicals. We would be also incorporating lots of wild plants into the diet to cleanse the chemicals that are in our system out as best we could. Right, so a lot of times the chemicals only harm us when we are ignorant of what the chemicals are, where the chemicals are, and how they function. So when I talk about melanin being photovoltaic, one of the biggest things we have to pay attention to is GMO. And a lot of people talk about GMO, but they don't know what that means. What GMO chemicals do is they target the Shiki-Mate pathway in plants. That's the pathway in plants that produces aromatic amino acids. So as we run around, I was in the movies. I went to go see Queen and Slim. I took my babies to go see it, right? So before the movie starts, there's a commercial for a new TV show coming on. I don't remember the name of it, but in the program, in the TV show, they're like, yeah, we got melanin. And I'm just looking at this laughing like, what? We got melanin? And so we throw that word around, but we don't have real understanding of it. So what I mean is the GMO pesticides that they put onto the plants to target the Shiki-Mate pathway to produce the aromatic amino acids destroys the plant's ability to produce aromatic amino acids. So what does that mean for you and me and other melanated people? That means that our body loses the ability to synthesize the potential that we have to keep producing melanin because we produce melanin from aromatic amino acids. So the GMO chemicals are targeting the melanin producing aspects of the plant. You see? So that has a super impact on our skin. That has a super impact on our neuromelanin, on our children's ability to concentrate. The high amounts of sugar in the diet, when you have high amounts of sugar in the diet, that also inhibits your body's ability to metabolize tyrosine. Tyrosine being the key in production of neuromelanin. So when we look at our children's behavior patterns in school and their trouble sitting down and listening, et cetera, a lot of times the responsibility is on us there too. So we could point some fingers around, but largely it goes back to Hosea 4:6. My people are dying for lack of knowledge. And a lot of people quote Hosea 4:6 and they don't say the line that comes after that, which is more important to me, because it says, my people are dying for lack of knowledge. And the next line is, because you have rejected knowledge. So I think that these are the things that we got to walk into 2020 with, and we have to begin to do things that may be slightly uncomfortable. Like, I know when listening to me, the uneducated ear, it's almost like being in a ring with Deontay Wilder. You know, you're getting hit with blow after blow after blow, and you just want to lay down and go to sleep because these
concepts
are so crazy. It's a lot of big words and scientific jargon for the most point, but these are the things that we must become familiar with, because this is the area where we're really getting hit from. See, once you know what the chemicals are, once you know how they target your body, once you know what they're doing, then you know how to make the simple adjustments to go on ahead and get around them and do what you need to do. But as long as these things are unknown to us, that's where the trouble comes in. Go ahead, bro.
I understand what you're saying, brother. A lot of times, though, I don't want to make excuses. We're not about excuses. But a lot of times there's a lack of, we're a food desert, so we don't have access to food that is actually sustainable for us. We only have access to these GMOs, and we touched on this on our show. We were talking about the Popeye chicken. We were talking about the genetically modified organism,
right?
And whatever chemical they were putting in the chicken that was making it so addictive. So, yes, I agree. Well, we need to do a better awareness of health and what these chemicals do. But the average
let me be honest with you. Listen, when I first started switching my diet over, right, I ate cabbage, kale, and quinoa for almost 6 to 9 months, drove my family crazy. Like, I had them on it too, every day. Cabbage, kale, and quinoa, right?
Right, nutritional eating.
And I was complaining, saying, yeah, we live in a food desert, and this is the reason, and blah, blah, blah. The true reason, once again, wasn't necessarily because of us living in a food desert. And at the time, we was on 173rd Street in the Bronx. It was because I wasn't swaggy enough with my understanding. I didn't have enough information. I didn't know how to weed through the foolishness in the supermarket to get what I needed to get, because it goes in levels. So a lot of times when we can't get what's optimal or we can't get what's promoted, we just fall all the way back to the foolishness, and that's kind of not how we have to do this. We have to get and do the best we can do until we can do better. So if you got to do some brown rice and some chickpeas, like chickpeas or garbanzo beans is in every single supermarket in America. Chickpeas and garbanzo beans is in every supermarket in America. You can get that. You got cabbage in every supermarket in America. There's a lot. But the problem is, the first step is information. We have to get enough information to overwhelm our taste buds. If I'm just keeping it super plain and super real with you, like if I'm going to keep it 110 with you, this is part of the reason why when we make changes as adults, the changes don't translate to our children, because our taste buds, right, are actually like little cups, and inside those we have receptors. And maybe a couple decades ago, it was taught to people that you had different sections of your tongue that responded to different, but that's not true now. We know that the taste buds run all the way down the digestive tract, and the taste buds directly tap into your brain, right? And so when you're born, you have a pretty even distribution of bitter and sweet taste buds. But as you feed a specific type of taste bud, the other taste buds kind of fade away and are replaced. So when we feed our children sugary processed things and we feed ourselves sugary processed things, we actually create more taste buds for that. So as adults, when we start to come into this information and we want to make changes for our life, and we sit around and we listen to this and we hear Dr. Inky and Dr. Sabi and this guy and that guy and boom, 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 and Mama Pill and just all these different people, at some point, the information hits a level where now what we know can overwhelm our taste buds, and we'll begin to start eating healthier until our taste buds change. It takes about 3 to 4 weeks before your taste buds start to really change to your new diet, because you now develop the microorganisms that correspond to eating more produce, et cetera, et cetera. So it blends with your body chemistry more. But there's that 3 or 4 week window where you got to really it has to be mind over matter, so to speak. Our children, they don't soak that information in. So it's difficult for them. So what I'm saying is we just got to go into 2020 where we're accepting everything as our responsibility to fix and change. And anything that we don't know, we can go get that information. Like, I wrote a book called Eat Right for Your Haplotype. And people can call me directly, 833-777-6543, 833-777-6543, because I know this show is going to be over shortly. But you can also go to the website, UnitedPlatesOfAmerica.org, UnitedPlatesOfAmerica.org, and get the book, Eat Right for Your Haplotype. In that book, I detail biochemistry for you and why a particular diet works for you or doesn't work for you. And then I have 200 pages worth of protocols for all of the existing issues that we're dealing with, all clinically based, all clinically proven to work based on stuff that you can get in your kitchen. Clinically proven.
Okay.
None of this foolishness off the, you know, you got cancer and you're going to take a detox for 3 days. And no foolishness, none of that.
Okay, so it's chemically proven to work on melanated people, because we know
absolutely
that the health standard is based off of white people. So
correct.
Right.
When they tell you something's wrong with you, they're basing it off of their standard, not our standard. So
correct. And so
this is based off of our standard, not theirs.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up, because knowing that, it becomes even more incumbent upon us to go out and to do the research. And this is why, although I have a lot of followers from all walks of life, I always focus primarily on us. That's why the name of the book is Eat Right for Your Haplotype. For those of you that may not be aware, haplotype refers strictly to your bloodline, not nationality,
okay,
not country of origin, but bloodline, right, which is much more specific. And that is the way we're supposed to be eating, not eat right for your blood type. I want you to understand, blood type is very common and refers to antigens outside of the blood. This is different. I'm talking about your bloodline, your origin. Where you from, your biochemical makeup, right? Very, 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 very specific. So that, and the book starts that way. We explain haplotype, what haplotype is, why there are different chemistries and biochemistries that must be catered to, right? And then we walk through slowly, and then we have the diet plan. We show you the food list, why you should eat this versus that. So it's very, very detailed textbook, about 400-some-odd pages that walks people through meticulously, right? It's almost like you're buying a complete education in a book, a complete education mm-hmm. in a book. We even did like a 3-year course on it where I had a lot of nurses, doctors, biochemists, chefs, like a lot of people that were already health professionals joined the class, and everybody was completely amazed at how much they were able to learn in relationship to how much they already knew, right? So very important that we begin to really get this information and educate ourselves and arm ourselves, because the one thing that we know for certain is that there's not going to be less chemicals in the food next year. We know that for certain.
Right?
We know that's for real. So, right. So we have to arm ourselves. The other piece is this. As long as the corporations know more about how your body works than you do, you're never going to be able to do anything but complain. As long as the biochemists know more about how your body works than you do, you're never going to be in position. So even when it comes to the vaccines, like all of these, the vaccine companies, Merck and all these, when they know more about how your body works than you do, you're always going to be at a disadvantage, right? So we live in a time where people are talking about free this and free rights and blah, blah, blah. And you got the Me Too movement, and they're talking about sexual abuse. And that's about violating someone's freedom, right? But no one really talks about anatomical sovereignty, right? The freedom of the physical body. Your body's in bondage when you don't know how your body works, because you always are going to be a subject to somebody who knows more than you do, right? So we even have a lot of brothers and sisters running around talking about they got knowledge of self. I ask them, how does mitochondria produce energy? They like, I don't know, from the food we eat. And I'm like, see, that's the problem right there. What you think is knowledge of self, when you talk about history and pyramids, and that's cool, but that's history. That's not biochemistry. Biochemistry is knowledge of self, knowing how you work. Where's your consciousness? How does that intertwine with this? Why does it seem like the GMOs are specifically targeting you? Because they are.
Right.
What is it that really sets you apart when you have melanin? So you have to say to yourself, okay, so what does melanin really mean, right? Melanin really means everywhere that I have melanin in my skin, I also have a corresponding boost in mitochondria. I also have a corresponding boost in rhodopsin. Rhodopsin is the rods from our eyes. That's also present in the skin. So that's also another way light is being converted into information. But because I have more mitochondria in my skin than everybody else, I have to keep my skin clear because my skin has to breathe, right? So we don't talk about that. We coat the skin with Vaseline, lotion, makeup, all of these things, and we don't know that. Not only are we suffocating our skin, but those chemicals go directly to the blood. So we might be thinking about the chemicals in the chicken sandwich, but the brothers done put half a bottle of Sporting Wave on top of their program and combed that into the follicles of their head. You know, so we think about what's in the chicken sandwich, bro. What you put on your head this morning?
Right.
So what you put on your face?
Very interesting.
So with that being said, Dr. Henry, what should we use? What products should we use? Because a lot of us, this is not our natural climate anyway. I know me, I'm in Colorado. It's a very dry climate. So I use shea butter, cocoa butter, but is there other things that we should also use?
Those are awesome replacements. I mean, I tend to do lighter, right, in the summer. So in the summer, coconut oils, olive oils, things like that, Wintertime, I tend to do something thicker, like the shea, you know, or the cocoa. Well, not so much the cocoa butter, because usually cocoa butter is it's not natural.
Okay.
Usually cocoa butter is not natural. Cocoa butter is usually got some other stuff going on in there, right?
And in other words, it's processed.
Most of the time when you see
processed.
And most of the time when you see commercial cocoa butter, you see it says enriched with vitamin E. Well, if you look up synthetic vitamins, you'll notice that synthetic vitamins boost specific ones, but specifically the fat soluble, they boost your ability to be susceptible to cancers, right? So I tend not to do the cocoa butters. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to put none of that on my skin, right? But the best thing is to leave the skin as natural and naked as possible. Natural and naked as possible, right? Especially when you're covering up. A lot of people, we're so self-conscious about being ashy. We're covering up things that nobody's going to see anyway, right? So if it's in the wintertime and you're putting on long pants and socks and boots and wool, you don't need to be lotioning up your whole body. Just let your body breathe, because you're already blocking a large amount of gas exchange from your skin anyway with the clothes. And then if you're in a cold place, like me, I'm in Michigan. You putting on long johns
right.
and all kinds of other foolishness. So the last thing you need is to be clogging up your pores with all kinds of other stuff. You know what I mean? So keeping
yes,
the skin open and being able to breathe.
Okay. It's been my experience that when I do that, I get sick. Like if I get out the shower and I don't put no lotion on, put no shea butter, no cocoa butter, whatever on, I end up getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be layered up, and I'll still end up getting sick.
Yep. That right there, that's an internal thing. So what I would say is what you need to do is beef up your circulating immunity, your humoral immunity, right? So closing your skin off to the outside world has let's do it like this, because I've been talking about jiu-jitsu a lot lately, right? One of the amazing things about jiu-jitsu and what separates jiu-jitsu a lot from other martial arts is rolling or randori. Right, is actual live sparring all the time. Where a lot of martial arts, you just do kata. So even though you progress in belts, you never really know what's going to happen in combat because you've never practiced fighting. Right?
Exactly.
So jiu-jitsu, you kind of always are practicing fighting. Like the first day we walked into the dojo, I was getting hit in the head. Within 3 seconds, I was tapping out like, yo, I'm going to need that arm right there. Because it's constant on. So your immune system has to have that too. Immune system has to have that too. So that's why some people are like, wait, where is he going with this? Your immune system has to have the ability to test the waters and fight off. And so when we totally sanitize and block our body from being exposed to the environment, little tiny bugs that we should be able to just totally knock off and never notice, or maybe we have a little, you know, or a little sneeze here and there for a couple hours, you know, and it's gone, will put us in bed for 4 or 5 days, 6, 7 days.
Yeah.
Because our body's not used to producing, you know, the antibodies and all, everything's not well oiled and tuned up. Right? So you're going to have to make that leap where you begin to, okay, make two things prevalent in your routine. A, switch the things that you're using on your body, right? Go with the all natural stuff, right? And we have a blend of an oil that we use for hair, but we put it all over our body. I even take drops of it orally sometimes, depending on what's going on with me. But it's a mix of different oils, right? So sometimes we have to do that as well. Sometimes we have to mix a little something in, right? So maybe we might put 2 drops of oregano inside 1/2 cup of olive oil, right? Because oregano oil is very strong. It'll burn you if you put oregano oil, like real oregano oil, on your skin. But maybe, you know, if we take 1/2 cup to 1 cup of coconut oil and we put 2 or 3 drops of oregano oil in there and mix it, that will boost the antiviral capacity of that oil. Now we put that oil on our skin, then we jump on the detox, right? If you don't know where to get a good one from, we have a great one at InkiesDetox.com, right? So you can go to InkiesDetox.com. Great detox there, right? If you don't know where another one is. And that detox is designed to upregulate the NRF2 system. Right, a lot of people falsely believe that a detox gives you a good bowel movement, and that's very, very untrue. Fiber gives you a good bowel movement, so I can pretty much give you a large amount of any type of plants, and it'll give you a bowel movement, especially if you're used to eating processed foods, right? And you'll have the illusion that you had a good detox, but an actual good detox stimulates the NRF2 system, which is the alarm system surrounding the nuclear DNA that galvanizes the body to produce the defensive enzymes, right? Specifically the selenium-based enzymes that actually defend the body from all of the things that will put us under for a few days or a few weeks, right? And in upregulating the NRF2 system, it downregulates the NFKB system, which is the inflammatory protein system, right? So it downregulates inflammation, right? So those are the things that we want to do, especially in the wintertime. We want to beef up, so to speak, right, on our body's inner defenses. You know, we want to eat and drink things that speak to our immunity, right? We may even want to begin to change our breathing patterns. And the documentary that we have is called The Soul Craft. The documentary speaks on the ancient system developed 5,000-6,000 years ago for completely taking control of your consciousness, but also your subconscious actions that modern science told us up until just very recently your body had no control of. Our ancestors knew how to control the immune system consciously, right? Respiration, blood pressure, all of these things we had under control. So that's a great documentary to sit down, especially now, holiday time with the family. I believe we're up to chapter 2. So you have the forward to the Soulcraft, then you have Soulcraft chapter 1, and then Soulcraft chapter 2, which primarily centers around the breath, right? Very, 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 very informative on how to take back control of our health. And when we focus in on us, some of these other things will fall to the wayside because we're only thinking about vaccines in regard to how to ramp up our body's defenses to the environment, right? Mm-hmm. Viruses and bacteria are part of the environment, right? So if we know other ways to do that and the environment is not affecting us, right, then that's something that someone else has to question and deal with. We're not even thinking about that, right? If we're not eating the foods that are loaded up with all these chemicals, we're not even so much worried about the downside of the chemicals because someone else is buying that. I don't know who's eating that. Like, that's not, see, it's like, it's kind of like for years how we think about quote-unquote white folks, right, how they look at poverty, right? They're looking at poverty on the news, right? When we get deeply entrenched in the science of our wealth, which is our biochemistry, our genetics is our wealth, we can begin to watch these things on the news. We can look at the effects of the chemicals on the news, like, oh, yeah, we don't do that, so that doesn't affect us. We don't eat that, so that doesn't affect us. We don't take that, so that doesn't affect us. We don't require that, so that doesn't affect us, right? So we have to begin to look at how to modulate our body and our health without all of the synthetic means. One of the biggest discoveries that we should be using to our advantage in this exploration of self is the fact that 90% of all pharmaceutical drugs and chemicals are synthesized from plants, right? So that should tell you all we need to really do is get back in tune with our bodies and then get back in tune with the plants. But the problem is, again, we don't understand the conscious. We don't understand the soul. So we don't understand how we're becoming addicted to things like Netflix, how we can't stop. So there's a lot of time that we're wasting on other things that we could be using to cultivate our own spiritual prowess, which is actually rooted in our physical body. So we look at this thing. We've been divorced so long from spirituality. We don't understand how that's now turning into physical illness. We don't see the relationship between our divorce from our spiritual systems in the rise in suicide, the rise of mental illness, the rise of self-medication, a.k.a. the drug epidemic, the opioid epidemic, the lean, the 6,000 new strains of cannabis, and everybody's talking about all the benefits of cannabis. But when you talk about the benefits of cannabis, they're talking about what's called, quote unquote, nowadays medicinal. Most of the medicinal cannabis is not adulterated and chemicalized, et cetera, et cetera. But most of the commercial cannabis that people are buying is hybrid.
Yeah, the rest.
It's GMO.
Yeah.
So we got to really start to look at some of these things, but we have to look at some of these things through a scientific lens, and we can't do that without a proper understanding of our biochemistry first. And so when you look at the two key components that I was talking about earlier, which is the soul. Now, if we take that and we really dig into that, we say, okay, what is he talking about? Well, one of the things that led me to that understanding was looking at ATP. A lot of us understand that ATP is what gives our body energy, but we don't really understand that mechanism, right? Mitochondria, which is a separate little organism that has a symbiotic relationship with our cells, recycles our ATP. The part of the ATP that creates the energy, right, that we know of is the phosphorus head. So you have adenosine triphosphate because you have adenosine as the base, and then you have three phosphoruses attached to that adenosine, right? And so when that ATP is dropped into the plasma of the cell, right, accompanied by magnesium, the cell is able to combust the phosphorus and produce light. Phosphorus produces light, and it's that light that's harnessed in the cell for all of our biochemistry. So once I learned that our cells were being powered by light, it had me take a further look and see what was going on. And so when I started to see that, oh, okay, so everybody's complaining of energy. And then you look at, okay, well, where's the energy stored? The energy stored in the fat cell. Well, how is sugar stored? Sugar stored as
sorry to interrupt. Okay, we're winding down right here, and also
I really do this though. So we could go 12 hours, 15 hours. I'm sorry,
yes,
pardon
sir.
Me. But
okay.
It's a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Sir.
It's a lot. I could do a sermon. I do a sermon on the mount for you, whenever you're ready.
Oh, yeah, but it's all good, Doctor, and you're most definitely welcome back. And also, too, I appreciate Jesse calling in, you know, for Mile High News. I'm the West Coast correspondent for Mile High News.
Yes.
And most definitely, we need to have the good doctor on Mile High News as well, too, because he is dropping some very, very heavy information right here. And then also, too, Doctor, I want to invite you back for a future show where we talk specifically about these GMOs and this commercial cannabis, because, as you know, California California, man, you hear it burning down. I'm of the theory that they're burning down these grape vineyards, man, to put these weed vineyards in here. And then, of course, we know about Monsanto doing this GMO experimentations and their patents and things of that. So I most definitely would like to do a show with you on that there, doctor, in the future.
Yes, sir.
And also, too, most definitely, too, Jesse, I'm going to be, you know, give me some information later on today of what you need me to do out here on the West Coast for Wednesday night. And definitely, doctor, y'all check us out at Mile High News. We definitely want to give a shout out there to the one and only Mr. Jonathan Bourne of Through the Knowledge Radio. A shout out there to Black Eye Stand Radio. A shout out there to all the RBGs. And definitely, you know, stay black, stay strong, stay powerful. And we're going out with our outro right here, ladies and gentlemen, tonight that I'm dedicating to the memory of the Minister of Defense, Huey P. Newton, who patrolled the streets of Oakland, California 50 years ago, ensuring our safety. And thank you so very much.